Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is written for us in St. Matthew chapter 9, beginning at the 35th verse. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were troubled and downcast, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out workers into his harvest." So far our text, let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Please be seated. In Jesus the Christ, dear fellow redeemed. About a month ago, I was asked to go and visit someone in the hospital. And I went to the hospital here in Mankato, went up the elevator. And there was only one thing on my mind as I was in the hospital that day. 5807. That was the room that I was looking for. I went up the elevator, had to go all the way down the other end of the hospital wing. I don't know how many people I walked past. How many rooms, some with doors open, and I can remember faintly seeing people on hospital beds. But there was only one thing on my mind, 5807. I don't know how many medical staff I passed as I looked for that one number. Found it, went in, had a very nice visit with the gentleman. Really, the only person I saw was that man in the room I was looking for. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can get so focused on what I think I need to do and where I think I need to be that I don't see the people around me. I didn't see the people on the hospital beds that day with all of their needs, their worries and their fears. I didn't see the medical staff in their tiredness and their concern for the people that they were serving, maybe even worry and fear for the lives of those in their care. Because I was only looking for 5807. In the text that we read, Jesus traveled throughout the towns and villages preaching the good news, and then a crowd came to him. And he saw the crowd. Not just the mass of people, but the individuals in the crowd. And we're told that he was moved with compassion, because they were harassed and downcast, like sheep without a shepherd. So there's two things that I'd like you to take away from this text. The first is that Jesus sees you. And the second is that he is moved with compassion towards you. So what did Jesus see as that crowd came out to him that day? He saw individuals who were harassed and downcast, helpless, some translations say. So that first word in Greek, it can mean to be whipped or flayed. The idea is a stinging of the skin. It might be like going out into the woods in Minnesota in summer. those pesky mosquitoes harassing you, and you swipe and you can't drive them away. They're just always there annoying you. So what was Jesus seeing when he saw the people were harassed? It wasn't insects, it wasn't whips, but something was stinging them. Something was causing them discomfort. We know that we have three enemies: our sinful flesh, the world, and Satan. And they constantly harass people, Christians. Now, maybe you don't see that in the people around you, but I dare say you see it in yourself. Just think of how easily your own flesh causes you to fall into sin. How easily those words of anger, even if you don't say them, are truly felt and meant in your heart and your mind. How those evil lusts and desires are constantly there. That jealousy that just festers deep down. You don't let anyone else see it, but it's there. Or maybe how easy it is for you to tear another person down with careless words of gossip. Those sins sting us because when we see them, sometimes we can't even believe that we would do them. We know better, right? And that stinging jab of our conscience is there. But maybe it's not a current sin that you're struggling with, but one of the past. You still remember it. Still struggle to understand how and why you did it. And Satan loves to remind you that you did. He loves to draw your attention to it and loves to get you to question, how can God forgive someone that did that? And once again, it's a sting to us. We're harassed within and without. Now, that second word, translated downcast here, it really means to be thrown away or thrown down. Okay. And so the idea that God is going to throw us away, when we look at our past record, we can see lots of reasons why God should throw us away. We haven't lived how we're supposed to. We haven't lived how God wants us to live. We haven't even met our own standards. There's lots of reasons why God should throw us away. And sometimes, with the way our lives play out, we can even think that God is throwing us away. We get that report from the doctor that we didn't want to hear. Our finances aren't where we want them to be. Surely if I had God's favor, I wouldn't have to struggle with these things in these ways. Has God thrown me away? And so we can feel disconnected from God. Yet look at the reaction of Jesus when he saw the individuals in the crowd harassed and downcast. Our text tells us that he was moved with compassion. And the Greek word means to be moved in the bowels. The bowels were seen as the deepest part of a person. When Jesus saw the crowd, in his deepest part, at his very heart, we might say, he was moved in love for the crowd. Jesus didn't throw them away. Didn't leave them in their helpless, harassed state. But he loved them. He was moved with such great compassion that eventually he would take all that guilt and all of those sins away and claim them as his very own. He would take them into his own body and suffer the stings of God's anger and punishment in the world's place. That includes you. Jesus sees you, harassed, helpless, and downcast. And he is still moved with compassion. He loves you and has forgiven all of your sins. He loves you and has prepared a place for you in heaven. So you are forgiven. Because Jesus has lived, died, and risen again. You are loved because Jesus, in compassion, has lived, died, and risen again for you. You may not always feel it, but our feelings don't determine whether God loves us or not. Jesus does. I don't always feel as if I have God's favor, but because Jesus has lived, died, and risen again, it is mine. I don't always feel like I'm on the path to heaven, but I am because Jesus has lived, died, and risen again. So you, too, are loved, forgiven, and on the path to heaven. Because Jesus sees you and has compassion on you. That's one of the reasons that he sends pastors to tell us time and time again that we're forgiven, we're loved, and we're going to be in heaven. So pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. To him be the glory, now and forever. Amen. Please stand for the blessing. And now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, out of your fatherly goodness, you have been mindful of us poor, miserable sinners and have given your beloved Son to be our shepherd, not only to nourish us by his word, but also to defend us from sin, death, and the devil. We beseech you, grant us your Holy Spirit, that even as this shepherd knows us and helps us in every affliction, we also may know him, and trusting in him, seek help and comfort in him. From our hearts obey his voice and obtain eternal salvation. Through the same, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.